Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What is up, guys? Today's date is October 24th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you are listening to Via the Source. Now, today's episode is going to be previewing the game between the Houston Texans and the Miami Dolphins. Now, this game will be in Houston, in my home state of Texas, and the Dolphins are coming off of a pretty big loss against the Detroit Lions. They ran all over the defense. It was a poor showing by the Miami Dolphins. The Texans are on the other side of the spectrum. They are on a nice little run of their own. They're coming off a nice win against the Jacksonville Jaguars team that was completely manhandled by the Houston defense. Now, there are some things that must be discussed beforehand. The Dolphins team was already pretty depleted before last week's game. There were starting backup quarterback Brock Osweiler because of Tannehill's injury. Josh Sitton was placed on IR. Daniel Kilgore was placed on IR. So we had two guys lost at the offensive line and a backup quarterback in. Now we lost probably the team's primary offensive threat, Albert Wilson. Looks like he's out for the year with a dislocated hip injury. It is still good that he won't require surgery, but at the same time, it's a shame that we lost our best player. He was off to an amazing start. And then Kenny Stills, the team's probably number two or number one receiver option, depending how you valued Albert Wilson. He is out for this game with a groin injury. So the team will turn to Devontae Parker, Danny Amendola, Jakeem Grant, and either Isaiah Ford or Leonte Carew for this game. And as always, for the preview, we have to take a look at the opposing team. So taking a look at the Houston Texans, the Texans are led offensively by second-year quarterback Deshaun Watson. Watson, he is coming off a historically productive rookie season. He played only seven games, but managed to put up, in those seven games, 19 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. 7 games, 19 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Great. Now, he was forced to miss the rest of last season with a torn ACL, which was the second of his NFL career, or football career, rather. The other one was in college. So this season, Watson has been up and down, but his ups have been very impressive, and his downs have been average or a little slightly below average. This season, he has 10 touchdowns, 1,937 yards, and 7 interceptions. So there is some regression. He is not having a monster season like he was in his rookie season. Now, Watson is capable of exploding for huge games every single week. So far in his young career, he has put up 4 games of over 350 yards, and that's only in 14 total games. So think of that, 14 total games, 4 games of over 350 yards. That's very, very impressive for a guy who is just starting out his NFL career. But Watson, he made headlines last week because the team chose to drive him by bus, 12-hour drive to Jacksonville. Watson is playing with a partially collapsed lung and a broken rib, and that has the team cautious about flying him on a plane due to the changes in air pressure. Now, last week, Watson, he didn't have the greatest game, only 139 yards passing and a touchdown against Jacksonville. The game was mostly dominated offensively by Lamar Miller, who had a good game. Now, the running game has been a weak point for the Texans. Former Dolphin Lamar Miller, he leads the pack, but he too is a little banged up. Last week was his second week back from suffering a chest injury that caused him to miss week 5 against the Cowboys. Last week, he picked up his first 100-yard game of the season, and that was against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are, you know, notoriously a good defense. He has 371 yards on the season, and he is only averaging 3.9 yards per carry. Now, we look at the Texans' receivers, and that is their strong point. The receivers are stacked because they are led by none other than DeAndre Newkopkins. It's hard to think of a receiver who has been in such a bad quarterback situation throughout his career, but despite all that, he has managed to remain at the top of the league, and his position is truly a testament to how good he has been. And now he has a good quarterback. You can only imagine the type of things he is going to be able to do. And this year, you know, is exactly how you would expect. He is third in the league in receiving yards with 707, also has 4 touchdowns. He leads the entire NFL in catches of over 20 yards with 13. Now, last week, he had a solid performance against Jalen Ramsey, getting 3 catches for 50 yards and a touchdown, but again, was dominated by the running game. They didn't really need to pass too much. Now, the Texans, they have their own speedster of their own in Will Fuller. Fuller is a home run threat. He is a player who can have huge games or be completely invisible this season. He has 2 games of over 100 yards. He also has 3 games of under 50. And I would think of him like a Taylor Gabriel type, a guy who really gave the Dolphins some problems against that game against the Bears. So I would definitely be cautious with Will Fuller. Him and Deshaun Watson have a tremendous chemistry. Now, Now we switch to the defensive side of the ball, and this is where things get really scary. I feel like I am writing Brock Osweiler's last rites as I type this section, but you know what? He survived the Bears game, so I will hold on to a little bit of hope. I will give him the benefit of the doubt, but this is going to be a tough one. The Texans defense is led by who else? J.J. Watt, and a little bit of Jadeveon Clowney in there too. Watt is fourth in the NFL in sacks with 7, and first in forced fumbles with 4. Now Clowney isn't too far behind in the sacks. He has 4.5 on the season, and if you watched him against this Jacksonville Jaguars team, he was absolutely dominating at will against this Jaguars offensive line. Now the team is 3rd in the league in sacks with 26 combined in total. And then we head over to the secondary, and the secondary is really, I think, outplaying what a lot of us expected. Kareem Jackson this year is ranked as the number 2 safety in the league via Pro Football Focus. He's off to a tremendous start. Veteran Jonathan Joseph has also been respectable, coming in at 12 via Pro Football Focus. Tyrann Mathieu, who switched back to safety after joining the Texans this season, a nice little bounce back season for him. He already has 2 picks, and you can see him all over the field making plays. The Texans run stopping has been absolutely phenomenal. They have not given up a single 100 yard game to a single running back this season. And think about that. They played Zeke and made Zeke a non-factor, keeping him under 3 yards per carry against Zeke. That is wildly impressive, and that is largely attributed to Zach Cunningham, linebacker, off to a tremendous start. Whitney Mercilus also off to a tremendous start, and then you have the powerhouses at the line. That is a very hard team to get the run going against, so they're just absolutely dominating. So let's get into my expectations for this game. The first one is it is not going to be Brock Osweiler's revenge game. That would be a pretty funny outcome, and man, would that shock the entire world. But on a short week with all the injuries, it just has all the making to be a tough one for Brock. The pressure brought by Clowney and Watt, I just think in this game, will be too much to handle, and the secondary is going to make him pay if he makes a mistake. My next expectation is that no Dolphins receiver has over 60 yards receiving. This is frankly a game where I wouldn't be surprised if Drake leads the team in reception. I think it's going to be a game with a lot of checkdowns. There will be pressure. He will have to get the ball out quick. I don't expect to see many passes downfield just because of all the issues. So I just think that no Dolphins receiver is going to have over 60 yards receiving. It's going to be a very slow game offensively for Miami. My next expectation is that Hopkins has 100 yards receiving. And that is not a knock on Xavien Howard. This is very similar to the situation with AJ Green. I think AJ Green was kind of kept in check, but he's still going to get his. Same way here, Hopkins is going to get his. You cannot stop him, completely erase him. It will take a career game from Xavien Howard to do so. And I just think that, you know, Hopkins is, you got to give him respect. He's been doing this. I have to give him the upper hand. I would be a homer to say that he does not have the upper hand in this matchup. Now, my keys to the victory in this game. The first one is to control the running game. And this could really apply to any game, but Miami just surrendered over 200 yards to the Lions. And the Texans are not the greatest running team in the league. But if you give any NFL team the opportunity to win a game just by sticking it on the ground, they're going to do so. So do not allow this to be a game where Lamar Miller has over 100 yards rushing, or else they won't even need to pass the ball, and it will be just an easy offensive dub for the Texans. The second one is find a way to control the Texans receivers. Hopkins is playing like the best receiver in the league right now. Stopping him, it will truly require a career game from Xavien Howard, but it really doesn't stop there, because Will Fuller, he has that top level straight line speed. He can break it big over the top and make plays. He cannot be underrated in this one as well. If Watson throws for under 300 yards, that means the offense is putting up points, and I do not expect a depleted Dolphins offense to be able to match that. So keep Watson's targets under control, the passing game under 300 yards, and I think there might be a shot. And now my last key to victory in this game is to get creative with the play calling. Miami is, once again, they're led by Brock Osweiler, and Osweiler is behind an offensive line that is missing 2 starters. He will be throwing to a group of receivers that is also missing 2 starters, and Miami is already, they're limited by what they can do with a backup quarterback. Their lack of healthy starters makes it pretty predictable who's going to get the ball. It's going to be a lot of Kenyon Drake. It is going to be a lot of Devontae Parker and a lot of Danny Amendola. So Gase, he needs to get creative here and find ways to get Jakeem Grant the ball in open space, get Parker in some one-on-one situations. Honestly, if Gase can pull this off, he will earn back the title of an offensive guru, because he is does not have many weapons to work with, and it's going to be very interesting to see how he attacks a very stout Texans defense. And that is how I'm going to wrap up this episode, guys. Let me know what you think. As always, you can follow me at Shady Steven at Via The Source on Twitter. And that is how I'm going to wrap it up. Follow me, send your comments, and until next time, I'm Steven Masso. This was Via The Source.